T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
Would you walk us through a typical day?
Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's.
Stop spending!
I'm president, and you're not.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people representing it from time to time.
I am proud to shut down the government. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I don't think he's a smart person, but he's got a loud voice.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well. What a day already. Walmart is being called upon by millions of Americans to be boycotted because somebody at Walmart tweeted at Josh Hawley. There's one of the storylines of the day. Sam Page has moved St. Louis County into a complete police state because now if you want to go to a restaurant, if a restaurant can survive with 25% capacity, you have to sign your name. If anyone is willing to do that and sign your real, I'll go and eat at a restaurant to support the restaurant owners and fake my name and put a fake number down. But if you're willing to write your actual name and number down and do this next week, I think you really strongly need to consider whether or not you truly want to live in this country. Because the seething anger that I have over this move is beyond description at this point. And he's out of control. He thinks he's Gavin Newsom. And by the way, this is happening in Baltimore and other cities too, because I guess they think they have to do some more. They have to kill the restaurants even more. So we'll talk about that a little bit this afternoon. And then Dawn Wells has died. Just when you thought you couldn't get another kick in the you-know-what for 2020. I was Marianne all the way. And my apologies to Tina Louise, who is now the only surviving cast member, I think, of Gilligan's Island. As Dawn Wells died from causes related to COVID, they say. Anyway, we do have some things to get away from all this stuff today as we continue with some great segments from 2020. And on Election Day, just a couple of months ago, Dave Klein and I, we vote at the same location, Rockwood Summit. So here's how it went. Okay, I'm walking up here to Rockwood Summit High School. It's a beautiful, sunny morning. It's just about 9:30, and Dave Klein and I agreed that we would meet up here to vote together. Good morning, Mr. Klein.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. So you beat me here a little. Let's get in line, because we weren't sure what we were going to encounter here, but the line is actually wrapped around the building. Now, you've been here for how long?
About 10 minutes, and it's gotten pretty decently back there now.
Can you identify anybody that was in line when you were here, by any chance, to see how long or how far they've gotten?
Actually, they're moving pretty good.
Okay,
but it's about another, I'd say, 60 yards back than when I first got here.
So, you know, one of the things that you could have done, Dave, to save us a little time so we didn't have to get in the back of the line, we wanted to do this together, but couldn't you have easily just gotten in line before I was here? It would have been uncomfortable because we don't want me skipping the line, but you could have just easily said that I was your husband, couldn't you?
Well, I guess that's an option, yeah, but I don't think that's really the right thing to do on Election Day, Mark.
That would have been a little dishonest is what you're saying, right?
A little bit.
Let me ask you a question, Dave Klein. I'm 55 years old. The first president that I voted for was Ronald Reagan in 1984. I was pretty dialed into politics at the time. I was proud to cast my vote. I
was really paying attention. What was your first presidential election?
That would be 2004. I should know this. And that was George W. Bush.
You're such a baby. You're so young. Now, what do you remember about that? Was that something? One of the reasons that I decided to vote today in person, because I kind of like the experience. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't like maybe waiting in line here for however long we're going to wait in line. But I do kind of like the experience of standing in line. It's a proud moment, I think, and it's a beautiful morning, so we don't have bad weather. What do you remember about that?
You're told you should do it.
Yeah.
And then kind of just growing up more, you just really... You learn more about the process and how it all works, and you really appreciate it more. So I think back in my first election, it was kind of like, yeah, all my friends are doing it, so yeah. I think I'm going to do it too. But, you know, you learn more about it.
All right, well, so we're going to see what's happening here in the line, and we'll see how long it is, and maybe we'll talk to some other people as well.
We should have set up a tailgate.
You know, we could have done that. We could have tailgated. It would have been a great idea.
Rotz burgers, beer, pretzels, you name it.
Sam Page would have come in and shut our asses down, don't you think?
True. Yeah, I think so.
We would have been breaking COVID. All right, so been in line for a few minutes here. We're going to see how things go, and we'll check back in a sec. Hey, Dave, I just thought of something, and it's pretty important. So we got in this line. We don't know. It could be 45 minutes, could be an hour. We don't know. But what would be the biggest issue for Mark Reardon standing in a long line in the morning? You want to take a stab at that? You know me pretty well, Dave.
Your bladder.
I got to pay.
Exactly.
Bladder.
Now, I've only had two Diet Cokes. But, and you notice that I don't have one with me right now.
I did notice that. I think if you do need to go anywhere, there's a playground that's
He's literally scouting out locations where I can hide behind a shed or something like that. Are you thinking I'm going to do this on election day in front of everyone?
I got an empty milk carton in the car if you need to use that.
Okay, we are rounding the bend of the corner at Rockwood Summit High School. Dave and I in line here. And would you say, I started the stopwatch maybe just about 3 minutes late. We're about 15 minutes in the line right now.
Yeah. I think we moved about what? We think about 50 yards or so?
Yeah, maybe about 50, 60 yards. And the line is basically, it's not getting any longer, is it?
No.
Maybe just a little longer, but it's basically to the point where we started. So we've done 15. I'm going to estimate, well, and if you look at where we are right now, I'm going to say this is going to be a 45-minute line. What do you think?
I'm going to say we'll be in there in a half an hour.
I'm taking the over. We are now about at the 25-minute mark. Your prediction of a half an hour does not look good right now.
No, I'm not a very good gambler, so no one should ever listen to my advice.
There's something else that's going on here. We are, like, sweating, aren't we?
It's gotten really hot, and it's not just your hot air next to me.
I think that we were both discussing how this would be a real different experience if it was raining or if it was cold, so I think complaining about the heat is probably not warranted.
No, you're right. This is a beautiful day.
All right, I said 45 minutes. We're going to lock in on that,
your
okay?
Your prediction might be wrong.
Okay, we'll see. All right, here we are. We're about the 35-minute mark at this point. I predicted 45 minutes. We're getting very close. We're actually in the shade now, which feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, it feels fantastic. We needed this.
All right, so we just got inside here at Rockwood Summit, and Dave's prediction, 30 minutes.
Dead wrong.
Yeah, dead wrong. I said 45. We're at about 48 right now, but we're not quite at the place where we have to tell them who we are, right?
Right, yeah. We're still about, about 40 feet back from that?
So I told you one issue here is I don't have a driver's license. I have my passport card because I never went and got my driver's license. I have a picture. Are they going to...
That's responsible. It's responsible to not have that with you.
I haven't had it in 6 months. So if that happens, we're going to have an issue, right? There's going to be an incident.
You could cause a scene.
Yeah, there's going to be an incident. Let me tell you that. But we're very close. All right, we're almost at the point where they try to identify who I am, but I have to... I have to ask them a question. After I cast my ballot, is there a restroom nearby or not? Can I go into the restroom with my ballot?
No.
Right around the corner?
Get your ballot.
Uh-huh.
Have we got time to vote?
I'll vote first. No, it's not too urgent. But, you know, it's getting to the point.
The washroom's right down here. It says restrooms.
Oh, look at that.
Through the corridor and to the right.
Thank you, sir. It's going to save me from disaster. Thank you.
Next, please.
Okay. You Bridalwood folks are good.
Yeah? A lot of us here?
Uh-huh. Okay, get a pen. And with the soft end?
Yeah? Sign?
This is... No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Ahead of me.
Okay.
If this is all good, you can accept.
It is.
Okay. Now, the other end is for the ballot.
Okay.
And you're going to keep it.
Okay, I'm going to keep it. Can I take it home with me?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, I can? Look at that.
And a twist.
And a twist, too?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no logo on it. You guys missed an opportunity. You should have logoed the pens.
They're not going to spend that kind of money. Come on now.
I didn't know I'd get a pen out of the deal.
Yeah. Any logo can be read based on what your political reasons are.
What, don't what? Oh, yeah, for political reasons? Yeah. In other words, if it said MAGA on the pen, we'd probably be in trouble.
So here I am with my ballot. I'll take my mask off a little bit here. I, honest to God, do not know who to vote for because I can't see. I can't see anything. I don't have my glasses. I didn't even think about this until now. So I'm going to try to fill these blanks in as best as I can. But honest to God, I'm just kind of taking a shot in the dark on some of it. I can see there's Ann Wagner's name. I'm going to fill in that blank right there. Okay, I have voted. I'm waiting for Dave Klein. Here he comes. He's coming out. I beat him a little bit. It took about an hour, all told, all in to vote here at Rockwood Summit, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
How was your experience? Here's one problem I had and confronted. Didn't realize I didn't have my reading glasses. I might have voted for Biden. I have no idea.
Oh, that's a problem. Oh, no. Oh, geez.
Did you have any issues, Dave?
Well, see, my issue was I couldn't figure out the pen, Mark. I didn't know that it twisted. I kept on clicking the thing at the top.
Yeah.
It wasn't doing anything.
Well, my poll worker specifically instructed me to twist the pen, Dave. You had a bad poll worker, I think.
I think so. I should have been given more instruction.
One other issue. The guy who told me that I could pee, fake news. It was locked, so I got to go to the QT down the street, Dave.
Well, good luck. Don't pee in the car.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
Well, the news came down yesterday, the passing of Eddie Van Halen at the age of just 65 years old. And we kind of half joke about this every once in a while, but I've known Randy Raley for a while, and it seems like the only time I reach out to him is when something devastating like this happens. We have an older rock star that passes away, but, you know, Randy was around a lot in the 1980s and had a lot of contact with these great acts, so he joins me this afternoon. He's now the program director of V100 in Topeka, Kansas. How are you, Randy? Good afternoon.
Hey, Mark, I'm doing well. I'm doing today what I did yesterday, and that's sitting down and putting a show together. And then all of a sudden we get the news that Eddie Van Halen passes away, and then you just kind of pivot. And, you know, it's every person for themselves. But the thing about Eddie Van Halen is that, you know, he redefined guitar playing for so many people. You know, I was 14 years old when Jimi Hendrix died, and I was 22 years old the very first time I ever played Van Halen on the radio. And I thought to myself then, this guy is going to be, you know, he's going to be Hendrix-like when everything is said and done. And you know, he was such an innovative guitar player. He said one time that he was, you know, back in the early days, he was so poor he couldn't afford pedals for his guitar, so he had to rework his guitar, and then he became, you know, such a proficient guitar player. He knew that guitar in and out. And you know, for those of us in the business, Mark, this is not a surprise. We have known that Eddie has been sick for a long time. We found out, I believe it was March or April, that Valerie Bertinelli, his wife, went to see him. And you know, whenever that happens, it's not a good thing. So it's always shocking when somebody like this happens. But Eddie's been sick for a while.
You know, I was just 13 years old in 1978, and that was exactly when I started buying records as a 13, 14-year-old. And I don't remember what order I bought that first Van Halen record in when I bought some of the other great records like, you know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And I was into UFO back then, a great band from England. But, you know, bang, 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 you had Van Halen, Van Halen 2, and Women and Children First. I was always kind of partial. I loved Women and Children First. But everybody, you know, that followed rock music knew that you were hearing something really different and amazing.
Well, you know, it's that lick. You know it's Van Halen when he plays it. It's one of those kind of, it's a Hendrix thing, you know, it's a Clapton thing, and it, you know who it is. Now, my favorite Van Halen album is, it's one that has Mean Streets on it and Unchained. And the thing that, you know, Eddie Van Halen, he was such a master of his art. Here's how he learned how to play the guitar. He was a big fan of Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton was his guitar god. And so he would go buy a Clapton album, and he would take the speed and turn it from 33 to 16 so he could slow it down and learn how
to play
that. But that's the thing about it. Whenever you hear Eddie Van Halen, you know it's Eddie Van Halen. It's just one of those kind of things. And here's another quick story. He was talking about playing that guitar riff in Beat It. And apparently how it happened is that Quincy Jones just called him out of the blue and said, hey, I got something for you to play on. Eddie Van Halen said, it took 20 minutes of my time. I did it in two takes. And he said, I was never paid for it. It was something that Eddie Van Halen did out of the goodness of his heart, for two guys that he really admired,
wow,
being Michael Beck and Quincy Jones. And so that's, you know, the thing that I remember about Eddie and meeting him is he had that very impish grin. And he was such a humble guy. And he always talked about, he never wrote anything. It came through him from somewhere else. And that's the thing that I really, you know, in the complete contrast of David Lee Roth, you know, and that's the thing that I think made Van Halen work, is that you had that contrast. Now, you got to remember, when Sammy Hagar joined Van Halen, Sammy Hagar was in his 40s, and so that's a little bit of a different gene pool than David Lee Roth being in his 20s. And so that, to me, kind of grew up Van Halen a little bit. When you compare the two bands, there is no comparison because they're really two separate bands.
You know, I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, Randy. I love some of the backstory that I'd forgotten about. You know, they grew up in the Netherlands, and then they come to America, and, you know, Eddie started playing the drums, and he couldn't get Wipeout down. He got pissed, so he switched with Alex. He started playing, well, first of all, he was playing classical piano, but he admits that he never learned how to read music. So he tells Rolling Stone in 1995, "I fooled my teacher for 6 years. He never knew. I'd watch his fingers and I play it." I mean, how amazing is that?
That's a talent that's not of this earth. And the thing you have to remember is that he came over from Europe when he was 4 years old, and he didn't speak a lick of English. And, you know, they were very, very, very poor. And, you know, Eddie kind of worked his way through all of that. And plus, to be married to Valerie Bertinelli, I mean, come on, man, how much of a good fortune can one guy rack up in a lifetime? But, you know, this one kind of hurt Mark, just for the fact that, you know, such an innovative guitar player. And again, I'll just go back and say, whenever you hear Van Halen, you know it's him. You know it's him. And that's the quality of pure rock musicianship that, stands out from everybody else. And, you know, yesterday, you know, I pivoted and it was all Van Halen from 3 until 7 o'clock. We're going to do a Van Halen weekend this weekend. That's how big this guy is. And I started my radio career in 1977. I don't know of any other band that I played more on the radio than Van Halen. Because in 78, 79, 80, 82, it was just a new Van Halen album. And I was just trying to think back and think of a band or an artist that I've played more than Van Halen, and I can't come up with one. And they are the station that I'm at now. Van Halen is etched in our DNA, and we've got an entire city here in Topeka that's in mourning, and I'm sure it's the same way in St. Louis and all across the world, really. That's the kind of, the thing about music is that's where we go. Think about the changes that you've been through in the last 42 years, Mark, and me too, but it was that constant music from day one that kept us through those changes and affected us in the way that they did. You know, the music never changed. We just changed along. But again, man, it's a sad day in the music business. And again, it's not unexpected from a lot of us, but it's still, when it happens in 65, that's way too young. You know, if you go back and take a look at some of those pictures of Eddie Van Halen about 20 years ago, man, he did not look good at all. His teeth were missing.
And no.
He was a mess. And so I'm glad that he conquered some of his demons. I think it was too late with some of them, but you know, he was. And you ask anybody. Randy Bachman came out with us with something today that said that, you know, when Sammy first joined the band and they went on that tour in 1986, Eddie personally asked Bachman Turner Overdrive to open up for the band, and Randy Bachman said that by the time the tour was over, they had become best friends. And so that's kind of the thing about Eddie Van Halen, is I don't think there's a lot of people that have a lot of bad things to say about the guy.
Yeah, well, you know, there were demons there for sure, but it was that excitement that he injected into rock and roll. And, you know, I often joke, I think my first record that I ever had in my possession was either The Partridge Family or maybe Barry Manilow Live, as embarrassing that is. But that was when I was like 8, 9 years old. But once I started listening to music, you know, got a little older, Van Halen was one of those bands that just, for kids that were that age, it did create that excitement. Because let's face it, a lot of there was good classic rock in the 70s, but the pop music you could sort of question. And most of us, if we weren't listening, and there wasn't rock radio, as you know, Randy, there wasn't a lot of rock radio outside of Casey, but around the country it was mainly pop radio. So that really changed radio too, didn't it?
Well, think about what was going on in 1978. You had a lot of disco, and you had a lot of that on the radio, and things were kind of going different. And all of a sudden, here comes this eruption from this guy that we've never heard of. Mark, I remember playing the album on the radio the very first time, and I was just sitting there going, holy crap, this guy, what is this? And I remember I saw them in 1978, I think, open up for Journey, which was a real bad move for Journey. And I thought these guys were just going to be superstars, and it turned out to be true. And apparently through all of this, Eddie retained his humility and his good sense of humor and his rock and roll soul. He's, you know, you go back and look at the interviews of Eddie Van Halen, and man, the guy's just like, you know, I'm just here. I'm just a punk playing a guitar. It all comes from somewhere else, you know? Gotta love that.
I'm sure you know that the E Street Band's got a new record coming out in a few weeks, and I think in about a week and a half. But, you know, the way Bruce did this was he went in, it was like 2-3 weeks, no overdubs. That first Van Halen record, which I think even makes it more impressive when you think about what that, you know, Running with the Devil and Eruption and Ain't Talking About Love, I always kind of was partial to Ice Cream Man. I just love that song. But they did that in three weeks, basically, with no overdubs. They just jammed it out.
That's the best rock and roll records, ain't it? The ones you go in there and say, guys, yep, we got this. And here's the thing about when Sammy joined the band, Eddie called him on Friday. Sammy showed up at his house on Saturday, and they pretty much had every song for 5150 by Monday night. So, you know, it was apparently he was very easy to work with and all of that. And again, you know, when you lose somebody that's been a part of your life for 42 years, It's just really sad, and that's the power of music, and that's the thing that I've always discovered in my life, man. Wherever I want to go, happy, sad, proud, or whatever, man, I find a song and I get lost in it, and that's the thing with Van Halen. And you had a whole generation of guitar players who wanted to be like Eddie, and you still have people, and that's the thing, that the same thing with Eddie Van Halen and Jimi Hendrix. You'll hear Eddie Van Halen's song on the radio 50 years from now, just like you still hear Jimi Hendrix. He's that kind of a guitar player, and you know, for the revolutionizing he did of that particular genre of music, I just don't know of I don't know of a person who had much more an influence other than Hendrix or the Beatles or along that line. But he's in that line, man. I mean, again, when you hear those fingers, you know that's Eddie Van Halen. So peace be with the Van Halen family and his friends and his fans and all that kind of stuff. I know that I was really shaken up by it yesterday, although, you know, like I said before, it wasn't a surprise. So, God rest Eddie Van Halen, man. And God gave him a certain set of talent, and it was far beyond what anybody, I think, could have ever imagined.
Randy Raley. Man, great conversation, great memories. I appreciate it. It always does, unfortunately, take a rock icon's death to get to these conversations. But we'll have you back again soon.
You owe me an interview when Bruce's new album comes out, so we can talk about something happy, okay?
Deal. Let's do it. I'm telling Fred right now, Randy. We'll talk in a couple of weeks. 318. We'll go out with a little Eruption here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
All right, so I've been raving. I've just watched this show now for the past two nights, The Queen's Gambit, because our buddy Frank Cusimano recommended it a couple of days ago. And then my friend Cindy Sheltmeyer, who's in Columbia, she sent me, she's friends with Rex Singfield's son, and sent me this article from Vanity Fair. And Jennifer Shahadi, who is U.S. Women's Chess Champion, she is the Chess Federation's Women's Program Director right now. I think she knows that guy, Rex Singfield, pretty well. She was interviewed by Vanity Fair, and I thought she'd be a great person to come on and get us excited about this show. Jen Shahadi, how are you? Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, I'm wonderful. Yeah, that's right. Rex is my student. I love The Queen's Gambit. I keep bugging him to watch it. He can learn some things from Beth Harmon.
I am just so taken by this. And when I read the article in Vanity Fair, I love authenticity in entertainment. And you're making the argument that they got the chess part absolutely spot on, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they totally nailed it. They had Garry Kasparov as one of their major consultants, and he was kind enough a few days ago to come to the girls' club that I run to inspire, you know, the young girls and talk about his work on the series and how he kind of scripted the chess games to kind of match what came in the book, and also worked with the director, Scott Frank, to, like, make it kind of dovetail with the drama of the story. I mean, it's amazing. It's almost like a secondary script that they had to put all this work into, and that's why it's, like, a masterpiece, I think, or part of the reason.
Yeah, let's back up just a little bit for people, because I don't want to make the assumption that people know what this is about. It's based on a novel from 1983, Walter Tevis, The Queen's Gambit, and it's basically the story of this young girl in the 1960s, and you see this told in flashbacks a little bit, who is orphaned, and she ends up learning chess from a janitor at the orphanage that she's staying with, and goes on to be, and I'm not, you know, through the complete show, a big worldwide competitor. So it's really an interesting storyline. But what's fun is, for a guy like me, and Rex has tried to get me onto chess for a long time, and it hasn't worked because I'm not very smart, but even if you don't know anything about chess, it's so riveting and compelling, just like any other great sports drama. You get super into it, and it's just one of those exciting dramas.
Absolutely, and it's just super glamorous also and beautiful to watch with, like, the music, and it kind of shows that, like, aesthetic side of chess, like the movement of the pieces and, you know, how it's almost like a dance. And in fact, Anya, who played the lead actress, Beth Harmon, did an incredible job, and she was a dancer and said that that was part of the reason that it was so natural for her to move the chess pieces, because she was attuned to, like, all of those details from her dancing background. And, you know, it's interesting, like, you talked about Rex, and, you know, Beth also grew up in, you know, spent a lot of time in an orphanage. That's, like, another parallel to Rex's life, and I think this is a really inspiring series because it does make a powerful case for the fact that, like, talent can come from anywhere, and we always have to be on the lookout for it and nurture it. And I think that,
yes,
you know, Beth really got a lot of great support.
Look, you're talking to somebody who, when I was probably 10 or 11 years old, I can't remember exactly, I was really into music and listening to WLS in Chicago, and I put headphones on, and I started playing like I was a disc jockey, and I became addicted to learning anything and everything about radio, and really music at the time, too, because I was running a bit of a parallel path with the music business. But I love stories like this that show passion, and this Beth Harmon character, she doesn't want to do anything except learn chess, play chess, win chess. She's consumed by it now. Sometimes that can get a little over the top and dangerous. But as someone who appreciates passion, I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, because the thing about chess and becoming passionate about it is not everybody becomes the best chess player in the world like Beth Harmon or a chess champion. But for a lot of young people, it can be their first, like, flow experience where they are totally absorbed and lose their sense of, you know, time and distraction. And, you know, even if they don't become professional chess players, hey, they can tap into that later, you know, when they become, you know, writers or scientists or any field that requires that, you know, total focus. You know, they're like, you know, when I was a kid, I had that, and that was from chess.
Well, so this is perfectly timed for me, Jennifer Shahadi. I have, and I was joking about this on the air a couple of weeks ago, because I love Texas Hold'em, and I don't get to play in tournaments anymore or against real people much, but I play online just for fun, and it's just, you know, I don't spend any money. But my daughter, who's 5 years old, 5 and a half, is fascinated by it. And while I'm not going to tell you she understands all the fundamentals of the game, she kind of gets it. She grabs my phone sometimes. A few days ago, she grabbed it and said, "Hey, can I play poker?" And I'm like, I'm barely awake. She was in my bed. I gave her. She wins a tournament. Now, again, I'm not saying she knew exactly what she was doing, but the point is, and I think you're going to say, yes, Mark, do this, I think she's perfect to learn chess, because one thing I like about Hold'em is strategy, and it does make you kind of think. You started when you were 6 years old, right?
Yeah, I did start playing chess at 1-6, and now I actually play poker with Poker Stars. So, yeah, it sounds like your daughter is really cool. She's going places. And absolutely, you should teach her chess. I think that if she's attracted to, like, games on your phone, then she'll totally be into chess. And there's so many great resources. And, hey, you live in a heck of a town to have a budding chess player, because, of course, it's the most beautiful chess club in the world.
Well, it is, and I'm going to definitely, I'm going to follow up on this with her for sure. I'd actually kind of been waiting just a little bit, but having watched this show and reading the interview in Vanity Fair with you, I think I'm more inspired to get it, you know, moving in a quicker direction, because you never know. You know, you light a fire and you see someone that gets really into a game, or, you know, look, I have interests, Jen, in everything, and I'm taking my daughter deer hunting this weekend, so you just never know what she's going to get into. I can't believe that Rex has not watched this show. What do we need to do to get him to watch this show? He'll love it.
I think he might be watching it now. Just it came out a couple weeks ago, and he definitely said he was going to watch it. We need to find out what he thinks about it. I'm sure he'll be very moved by all the things in the orphanage. Because, I mean, I don't want to give spoilers, but it was to people who haven't watched it, but it was just really beautiful, the arc of that. And I thought they did such a tremendous job of avoiding cliches, like the cliche of the evil Russian opponents. No, the Russians were, like, you know, so, the Soviets were so, like, you know, excited and, you know, just warm, which I thought was, you know, maybe that was, like, over the top, but it was more realistic than the opposite, where they're, like, you know, the nemesis. And they did a good job of avoiding the cliche of, like, the chess queen as, like, Beth. And yeah, it was really brilliant, and I'm sure he's going to love it as well. And you know, everybody at the Chess Club in the Hall of Fame is going to love that. It's going to, you know, increase interest in the game. I mean, I already know that, you know, the guys at the Hall of Fame, that Shannon and Brian, are feeling so many media requests right now, so many requests for chess sets, and you know, that's a beautiful
cool.
to see.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, Santa might have to consider a chess set. You know, just being completely honest here, I've never played chess. I've never learned it. One reason is I'm intimidated by it. I don't think I'm smart enough, Jen. I just don't. I'm a guy who works on the radio.
No, you are definitely smart enough. I mean, you see some of these people who are chess champions. Just kidding. But no, seriously, there's obviously a correlation between intelligence and chess skill, but it's not very tight. You know, if you spend a lot of time in the game, you can overcome whatever, you know, obstacles you have. There are so many people who have disabilities. Even, they can't memorize things as easily, and they become great chess players. You work around your weaknesses. Nobody was born as a brilliant, great chess player. Everybody works at it, and whatever their weaknesses are, they have to overcome them. Some people come into chess and they're overconfident. They think they're going to win every game. They lose because they don't think hard enough. Some people are shy and they're not aggressive enough. They lose, and you just have to find that balance. And I think that your problem right now is that you think you're going to be bad at it, and that you're using that as an excuse not to try it. I don't believe it for a second. I think you're going to be good. But your daughter's going to beat you within a couple years.
Yes, she will. She will. But you know what? I'm going to learn for my daughter. We're going to have another conversation sometime next year, and I'm going to give you an update, because I know when Rex finds this out, he's going to want Alexa to absolutely start learning chess. Jennifer Shahadi, was absolutely a thrill to have this conversation with you this afternoon. I'm such a fan of the Queen's Gambit so far, so I hope we inspired more people to check it out. You don't have to know anything about chess to really enjoy this show. It's on Netflix right now, and we'll see if... Hey, by the way, is Rex... I always ask Rex for like $250,000, too, and he's never really written me the check. Has he ever done that for you? I just figure one of these times he's going to say yes.
Well, the St. Louis Chess Club is a big supporter of women's chess and U.S. chess women, and, you know, all... I mean, obviously, the biggest best philanthropist the world has ever had. So, yeah, we're deeply grateful to him, and I think that this depiction of chess on screen is a continuation of, like, all the work that people have put in to build the beautiful reputation of chess. Because if it came without people like Rex and all the people in U.S. Chess and the St. Louis Chess Campus, then people who are interested in the game, they would have nowhere to go. Chess.com, Chess24, all these amazing entrepreneurs that are putting so much love into chess right now, that is why the boom can really explode from this series, because we're here and we're ready for the people who are interested in it.
Jen, thank you so much. Good luck with the poker. I appreciate it. Yeah, take care, and we'll talk again, I'm sure.
Yes, I can't wait to play against Alexa. So next time, bring her. We'll give her a little chess lesson.
Maybe we'll do a little poker, too. That sounds good. It's The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. I think you're really going to like it. It's a great, great show.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Go on, take the money and run.
You played a great song there. I have a good musical, at least part musical, audio cut of the day coming up. This one is Painful, This Story. We shared it yesterday briefly, and I'm glad we have him on the horn this afternoon. Rob Huntsey is a local insurance guy, and he thought he made almost $1 million betting in DraftKings when things were coming together on his team on Monday Night Football. There was a change, though, in a stat that was painful, and Rob's going to kind of walk us through this afternoon. Rob Huntsey, welcome to KMOX on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line. How are you?
Man, I had a tough few days here, so it's been kind of a whirlwind, but I'm upbeat. I think I'm okay. I think I'll be all right. But
my first question would be, why have you agreed to do this interview and others? Because for me, I think it would be too painful.
To relive it, yeah, I was actually, the game came up on NFL Network the other day. I'm like, oh hell no, we're not doing that again. But I don't know. It is what it is. So put one foot in front of the other, and I don't know, not waste the opportunity.
Yeah, well, let's kind of share the story. And I told this woe is me story kind of jokingly on Monday, because I was in Vegas over the weekend. I was doing some small, you know, sports wagering, nothing heavy. But I had a $50 parlay that I thought I had it cashed. And then that doofus from the Cleveland Browns missed the PAT, and it cost me $350. So here I am complaining about that, $350. I see your story. Sorry, Rob, this one made me feel a little better. So walk us through how this happened. And this was on DraftKings, right?
Well, you think it would be relative. You only lost $350. I lost $997,000. But to each individual, you can almost get as mad for the smallest things, which is weird, too. So, but, I guess it kind of came down to the end. I play a little bit, avid player. I had a few lineups going, and I was in good position. I don't know how in-depth you want to get with the players, but I faded the receivers, the top receivers on each team, because they had good cornerbacks. That freed me up a little bit, left some money on the table. So I was in a good position, and then when Chicago Bears got that sack, fumble, and fumble return, I'm like, this could catapult me into the first place. So I kept refreshing, of course, and boom, $1 million. So not only is that amazing, it's the fact that I had a unique lineup out of 176,000 people. You should almost get money for picking a
just
lineup
for that
the other people don't have.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, then it kind of, there was still time left. I don't know, 5 minutes or whatever is left. Anything can happen. Any kneel down, any sack, non-sack, completion. The chances of me winning at that point were pretty small. So I charged my phone, knew that I was going to be looking at it constantly. And, man, I kept up there. Then I went to tied for second for some reason. I guess Allen Robinson caught something. They just checked Chicago Bears D and Allen Robinson somehow tied. And then I got the sack, and I went right back in front. So I was winning the million, charged my phone, was losing for a second or two, and right back with the million. And then I'm like, let's get this game over, you know? So I got an interception with the Rams who I had. Nothing major was happening. The Bears are anemic, so that helped out everything as well. So that was it. I couldn't believe it. I kept refreshing, and once the clock goes to zero possible minutes remaining, it's almost a surefire thing, done deal. I've played a million times. So I even waited a minute, you know, before I got obnoxious with everything. And
right.
And then called my parents. I was giving them money. You know, they're got trepidation. Is it real? My mom always asks, is this real money? How does this work? Because I've won some things in the past. I'm like, yes, mom, it's real. So I told her I won, you know, sandbagging a little bit. And I go, it's about 99% sure. And then I just check it one more time at this point just to see my name with the million, and boom, it's not there anymore.
So did you know right away what happened, or was that, like, really, really confusing?
So disbelief at this point, a little anger, obviously. So I'm like, well, maybe I won 100,000, you know, or 50,000, you know, and 3,000 tied for sixth place, you know. So Chicago Bears also, when they took that sack away, I tied with Allen Robinson, with tied me with like 15 people or something. So, yeah. So then I'm like, what the heck happened? I got up here. I'm checking box scores. You know, I see it's the sack. Someone says check Twitter, which I'm really don't do that much. But guys are breaking it down. They got the video up. Do you think it's a sack? Weigh in. I'm like, this is getting some legs. And, yeah, people were horrified. When I play and I know my team isn't going to win or my lineups, I root for somebody to win the 300 or the million or whatever the top prize is by themselves.
Right.
You know, you don't want to see it split with a million people, which I've actually done a couple times where I've tied for first. But, I mean, if you get 15K or 6K, this was not that. You know, this to have that unique lineup was crazy.
Well, I give you, it's making me sick to my stomach hearing you tell the story, because I'm running through my mind what I would do in a situation like that. The only thing I can think of is one time my sister gave me a present at Christmas time like 20 years ago that was a fake lottery ticket, and I thought I won $10,000 just momentarily. So, yeah, but that's not your total. But look, you got to move on. It's life. It's a great story. Has it been, you know, who uniquely has reached out to you? Because I know you're doing other media interviews as well.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I think the Post just called. I talked to Stu Durando, I believe, morning show, morning after. I was on ESPN2, the Daily Wager, ESPN article. I mean, it's been a lot. I heard it was like USA Today and other stuff that, you know, they didn't talk to me on. So it's kind of got some legs. It's kind of ambiguous. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, DraftKings reaches out or something. But, yeah, I never mentally put that money in my mental bank account. So, and I didn't have enough time after talking to my parents where I was thinking about what I'm going to do or anything. So, you know, I'm okay, I guess, but
yeah, but still, it's a painful loss. I appreciate you coming on here to talk about
no
it.
Problem.
You're back at it tonight, though. We got a football game tonight. I'm guessing you're back in the game, right?
Of course. Haven't thought about it, man. But yeah, I'm gonna take a little rest here and then get back at it. That would be a story. 0% chance of happening, but we'll keep playing, man. I appreciate it.
Rob, God bless you. And let me tell you something. Your positive attitude, I think it's a little infectious here, because I think it takes a lot to be as positive as you are right now. So in our very strange time in the world right now, I appreciate it. And you know what? I think things are going to work out. I think you'll look back at this and say, you know what? Maybe that wasn't the worst thing. So good luck with everything.
I hope so, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.